what it is and how it's manifested when we believe. Father, help us to understand what the scripture is saying. Help us to have the message clear in our hearts and in our minds that we might share it clearly with those that we come in contact with. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can divide the book of Galatians up into three pretty much equal parts. The first two chapters are Paul talking about his credentials as an apostle, about the fact that God gave him the message directly. He didn't get it from any human being. And about the fact that the leadership of the church in Jerusalem had endorsed his ministry. When you get into chapters 3 and 4, he's talking about we are saved, justified by faith in Jesus Christ, not by keeping the law. And then when you get into chapters 5 and 6, he's talking about the Holy Spirit produces godliness in us if we understand and believe the gospel and walk with the Holy Spirit. But if we try to gain practical righteousness by keeping the law, it just messes everything up. And so he starts out this section about how are we saved by saying this, "You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified." The word foolish signifies not understanding, not applying your mind. It signifies senseless, an unworthy lack of understanding. It's contrasted with being wise. And Paul writes to these people and said, "You're foolish. What in the world are you thinking? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified." He's saying, you saw the message. You heard the message. And he uses a word that's only used once in the New Testament. Who has bewitched you? Who's cast a spell on you? What in the world is going on that you're thinking what you're thinking? How did someone get you to start believing this stuff? He started out in chapter 1 by saying, "I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all." And then Paul says something that is very, very central to all of his preaching and teaching. "Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified." If we are faithful to God, the cross is going to be central to our preaching and our teaching. We read 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2. "For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." The Corinthians were enamored with knowledge. And Paul said, "I didn't want to be eloquent. I didn't want to wow you with what I knew. I just stuck to the message. For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know God, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. The Jews demand signs and the Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Gentiles, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God." Paul said, "You heard the message. You heard the message that Christ died for our sins, that he was crucified for us. You heard that. How in the world Are you turning away from that to something else? And then he asked a question that I think is very fascinating. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by believing what you heard? Now, as I read this, the first thought that comes to my mind is, it had to be obvious to them when the Holy Spirit came to live permanently in their bodies. I have been known to say to people, do you mean the infinitely powerful God in the person of the Holy Spirit, who's called holy because that's his primary attribute, took up permanent residence in your body and absolutely nothing changed? I find that very difficult to believe, okay? And Paul is saying to them, did you receive the Spirit by believing the message of the gospel? Or did you receive the Holy Spirit? Did he come and take up residence in your life when you said, oh, I got to keep the Old Testament law, and you started keeping the law? Well, what is the first evidence that the Holy Spirit has come into your life? This is Hebrews. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. I've told this story a good many times. Led someone to Christ at our dining table very early in the ministry at the Alfred Allman Bible Church. And I think it was 3 weeks later, she called up and, you know, said something that a pastor doesn't really want to hear. She said, Dan, I can't possibly be a Christian. And I said, why not? And she said, I sin more now than I ever did. And, you know, I think of Jeremiah, and I prayed to the Lord, and I said, and I prayed, and then I said, are you sinning more now in the sense that you're doing sinful things now that you've never done before? Or when you do things that you've been doing all your life, you do them now, and all of a sudden you start feeling guilty? She thought for a minute and she said, it's the second one. I said, you're saved. That's the first thing. Scripture says that we're all disciplined. The first step of discipline is the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes into our bodies at conversion, we get a whole new sensitivity to sin. Now, there may be other things, but that one I can guarantee, because Scripture says if we aren't disciplined, we're not God's children. And the first step in discipline is the Holy Spirit talking to us about what we have done wrong. Now, if you were saved as a child, you may not remember this, but if you can sin and deliberately sin and feel no real sense of guilt from God, there are real questions about whether you really know God at all. Because God disciplines those he loves. And usually the pattern, not guaranteeing always, but usually the pattern is, if you do something that's wrong, the Holy Spirit brings guilt. And that guilt doesn't go until you confess it as sin. And when you confess it, 1 John 1:9 says, he cleanses us, he changes us, and we start living differently. That's the first step. Usually what happens if we don't listen to the Holy Spirit talking to us about what we did is the Holy Spirit will tell somebody else to say something to us. Now, we've got to be careful about this one, but there have been times when I've had people come to me and say things that just nailed me because I knew God was already talking to me about it, and oh boy. But God will do that. God will bring people into your life. Or you'll come to church and the preacher will talk about it every week for 3 months. Or something will happen where God will use people in the body of Christ to bring conviction of sin. And if that doesn't work, then God will start to bring hardship and discipline and affliction into your life until you start listening. And that's very serious, because God is very serious about holiness. So what Paul is saying to them is, did the Holy Spirit come into your body and begin to convict you of sin when you heard the message that was preached and believed it? Or did the Holy Spirit come into your body and begin the process of changing you to be like Christ when you decided it was necessary to obey the Old Testament law? What's the gospel? The gospel is real simple. It's given to us in 1 Corinthians 15 as clearly as any place else. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you've taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. The believing in vain is if the resurrection isn't true, none of this works. That's what the topic of the chapter is. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, that he appeared to Cephas, and then to the 12. Who preached the gospel to the Galatians in the first case? Paul did. He saw what God did among them when they heard the gospel and believed. They knew that the transformation process in their lives began when they heard the gospel and believed it. When they started trying to keep the law, had anything like that happened? No. Basically, they probably just got miserable, but that's further on in the text. Okay. They received the Spirit by believing what they heard. And that's a very simple definition of what it means to accept Christ as your Savior. If you go to Romans chapter 10, it sort of gives it in reverse. You're not going to call on someone in whom you've not believed. You're not going to believe unless you've heard, and you're not going to hear unless somebody tells you the gospel. And it is by believing the message of the gospel that you're saved. Now, when you believe it, the reaction in your heart is usually to cry out to God and ask for forgiveness. But this passage and a number of other ones says you're saved by believing the gospel, by putting your trust in Jesus, not in your own good works. Are you so foolish? He comes back to saying, I don't get it. Are you so foolish? After beginning by means of the Spirit, are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh? I remember going to a funeral, I forget who it was, but the guy was a carpenter. And one of his friends said, I can just imagine when he gets to heaven, God will give him the key to his mansion and he'll want to go in and start making improvements. And my first reaction was, if God made it, I don't think he's going to improve on anything God made. And that's really what Paul's saying to them. The message was preached. You believed it. The Holy Spirit came into your body, started making changes in your life, and now you're trying to make it better by adding the law to it. God's already doing something. Get with the program, with what God is doing, and don't try to improve on what God did through the gospel. Have you experienced so much in vain? Probably should be translated, have you suffered? The word is used to describe Christ's sufferings on the cross. Have you suffered so many things in vain? What seems to be behind what was happening in Galatia was they were being persecuted for believing the gospel. They were being made fun of. They were being mocked. People were saying things like, well, you really can't be following God. There's all these Old Testament rules and you're not keeping them. And how dare you say you know God if you don't keep this rule and this rule and this rule? Have you experienced so much in vain? If it really was in vain, what happens? This is Galatians 6:12. Those who want to impress people by means of the flesh are trying to compel you to be circumcised. And when they were circumcised, they were putting themselves under the law. The only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. Paul is saying, don't yield to the pressure. Don't let them get to you. It's by faith in Jesus Christ. And then he goes back to the main question, and he adds to it and repeats it. So again, I ask, does God give you his Spirit and work miracles among you by the works of the law or by your believing what you heard? It's the exact same question with the addition of, and work miracles among you. Paul is saying, how did God begin the change process in your life? What happened? Well, when you heard the message and you believed the message, the Holy Spirit came into your life. The Holy Spirit began to change you. When these guys came along and said, no, you got to keep all the Old Testament laws, and you started trying to figure out what all the laws were and trying to keep them, did God change you on the inside? Did God start making you a different kind of person? And the answer was an obvious no. Now, Paula added the second time, and work miracles among you. Especially in the early church, and very frankly, more often on the mission field, when the gospel is first proclaimed, God will very often authenticate it by miraculous things. I did my Bible training at New Tribes Bible Institute. I've talked to a lot of missionaries. I have some who've been lifelong friends. And most of them would tell me that we saw God do a lot more miraculous things when we first presented the gospel in the tribe than we did after they started accepting Christ. Because when we went there, they didn't know whether what we were saying about who God was true. So God showed them through signs and wonders. That doesn't mean they don't happen today, but they don't happen nearly as often in a situation where people believe in God, but they're just not willing to come to him. But in the early church, Paul is talking about this salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him. God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. And Paul, when he came in to Galatia and he preached the gospel, if you read about his ministry in a number of other places, at the very beginning of his ministry, there were a lot of miraculous things that usually happened. God answered prayer and people were healed. And You know, Paul was stoned and left for dead, and they dragged him out of the city and walked away, and he got up and went back in the city and started preaching. I mean, things happened that showed that God's power was there. And Paul is saying to the Galatians, okay, so when I came and I preached the gospel and you believed it, God put his Holy Spirit in you and you started to change by the power of the Holy Spirit. And when people were questioning whether the gospel was true, God was working miracles to convince them that the gods they were worshiping were false gods, and that the God of the Bible was the one true God. And that all happened by the proclamation of the gospel. What happened when those people came along and said, you got to keep all the Old Testament rules? Did anybody start to radically change? Were there any miracles that happened? No, you just got miserable trying to keep all the rules. That's not what the message is. So some things to remember to sum it up. Christ crucified should be central to our teaching and preaching. People are saved when they believe the message. And it's believing not only in the sense of an intellectual assent to facts, but it's believing in the sense of trust. But to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. And believe there is used in the sense of trust. People are either trusting in the fact that they're good enough, or they've kept the rules enough, or they've kept the law enough, or something they have done to make them right with God, or they're trusting in what Jesus did for them on the cross, and they're putting their trust in him and not in themselves. We hear a lot of people talking about, have you prayed the prayer? But actually, usually praying comes afterward. There is no formula. I know when I was convicted about my sin and wanted God to save me, I prayed a very short prayer. But the praying comes after the believing, after we realize our need. And then you ask God to forgive you. Then you ask God to come into your life. And if you believe the gospel, the Holy Spirit comes in, and that's when the change process begins. There's another thing that's obvious from this passage. That a person has been saved should be obvious by the work of the Holy Spirit in their life. Paul couldn't write to these folks and say, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? If salvation was, oh yeah, I prayed, yeah, I'm going to heaven, nothing else happened. That kind of an experience makes no sense in the light of this text. A person who has accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior will experience change. I tend to tell people, once the Holy Spirit comes into your life, you're either going to change or you're going to be more miserable than you've ever been in your life. Because God isn't going to put up with stuff if you really have accepted Christ. Usually the first indication of the presence of the Holy Spirit is an increased sensitivity to sin. Now, if you can't remember when that happened, or if you never feel the Holy Spirit convicting you of sin, I think you need to take 2 Corinthians 13:5 very seriously. Examine yourselves to see whether you're in the faith. Test yourselves. If you know God, the Holy Spirit should be changing you. The Galatians had experienced receiving the Holy Spirit by believing the gospel they heard from Paul. trying to keep the law hadn't produced anything of value in their relationship with God. No matter how good any teaching sounds, if it doesn't produce change in people, it's probably not the gospel. Because when people believe the gospel, the Holy Spirit comes into their bodies, takes up permanent residence, and begins to change them. Now, you do not get saved by promising God you're going to be good. Salvation is a gift. But when you invite the Creator of the universe in the person of the Holy Spirit into your body, something is going to change. And a person who says, well, I did that and absolutely nothing happened, I want to go back and examine what they did and what they believed. Because God is determined to change us. And he's determined to change us through the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you love us. And Father, we thank you that you love us so much that you're not going to leave us in the mess we're in. And that when we come to you, you begin the change process in our lives to make us like Jesus. Father, I pray if there are those who've sort of made some sort of a quick prayer or something at some point in time, but they've never experienced the conviction of the Holy Spirit. They've never felt God working in their lives. I pray they would examine themselves. And I pray that we who know we have accepted you, that we would be very sensitive to the things the Holy Spirit continues to tell us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.